Welcome to Tremendous Talk. We got the industry tea and the jokes. Actors, directors, musicians, and more. You're listening to Tremendous Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tremendous Talk podcast. Today is a very, very special episode. My name is Law. I'm one of the hosts here, and this is my co-host.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Yes, and today we're talking all about special effects. We're talking hair and makeup, and it's all with the lovely people at Legacy Effects. Before we jump in, let's hear a little bit about them.
This week, we are so excited to have a special panel of the fantastic folks at Legacy FX. Legacy FX is the award-winning FX studio that has brought to life your favorite characters, creatures, and more.
With a combined 100 years of experience in the game, the co-founders of Legacy FX have developed a vast range of special effects and film production knowledge, utilizing it to stay on the cutting edge of practical effects and design. Today, we have joining us Lindsay McGowan, Legacy FX co-founder and co-owner, Cassie Rusek, the hair department queen, and Alexi Dimitriou, a makeup department wizard, Emmy winning even. And we are so excited to have this team of experts on the panel. As you guys know, something that we always talk about is wanting to be able to raise the voices of the unsung heroes behind the scenes. And in my opinion, Ash, I feel like special effects teams don't get enough credit for like the beauty and the magic that they bring on screen. So I'm personally very, very, very excited to have
this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They literally bring to life our favorite character, like Groot and all of these people. We would not have them at all without these effects teams.
Yeah. And it's so exciting because, you know, this team specifically, you know, they're always juggling a ton of projects at one time, but they just came off of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
You know,
not only was that like a renowned movie critically and from audiences, but they also broke a world record for the most amount of prosthetics ever used on film. So we're really excited to dive in with them.
Yeah, I can't wait. Let me read some of their past works to you.
Ooh,
Let me get on their project page.
Tantalize the senses here.
All right, get ready. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Dungeons and Dragons, Avatar: The Way of Water, Wakanda Forever, Black Adam, Finch, Next of Kin, Antlers, Godzilla vs. Kong, Wolf Boy, Underwater, Shape of Water, Terminator, Avengers Endgame, Godzilla King of the Monster, Captain Marvel, Goosebumps 2. Like, their list is so long.
Literally, it continues on and on. Yeah, it's crazy, right? And some of these names maybe you've never heard of before, but that's why they're here today on this podcast. Everyone, please welcome the team at Legacy FX. Well, amazing, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Lindsay, Alexi, and Cassie here from Legacy FX. Thank you so much for your time today. First of all, how's it going? How's it going? I mean, I know it's a weird time in the industry right now, but how are you feeling right now, this morning, today?
Great. I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, it's
from
all
what
good.
I've gathered on the like FX side, you're pretty used to early mornings, so this is like a piece of cake to you.
Yeah, I'm just sleeping.
Alexi and Cassie definitely are.
Yeah. We're used to like 3:12 call times.
Oh
we
my
got
gosh!
Got my coffee.
Yes, everyone caffeinate. Like we were just talking, Ash and I were just like kind of geeking out even before we started recording, and you know, Alexi, you got a little taste of us like geeking out to you, but all of your IMDBs are nothing to sneeze at. There's some impressive titles on there. And there's some, I mean, I know that I love all the work that Legacy does. I think it's like pretty magical what the effects looks like these days, practical effects looks like these days. But it's hasn't always been like that. Lindsay, I want to start with you. Kind of just like you're the co-founder and co-owner of Legacy FX. How did this come to be? What was the need in the industry that you needed to fill when you created Legacy FX?
Well, the four partners that formed Legacy, we all worked for Stan Winston. And so when he unfortunately passed away, we were all basically out of a job. So we were like, okay, how do we continue? So we formed Legacy and pretty much everybody that worked for Stan came and worked for us. And so, you know, we've been incredibly fortunate to have been around at the time where there's really been a resurgence in the type of work that we do. And so we've been together now for 15 years. Actually, this is the 16th year that we've been together as a company. So it's been a great adventure and seems to keep going to strength to strength.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously pretty impressive to see all the awards, coming in and nominations coming in, breaking world records on stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. What was the number? 22,500 plus pieces of prosthetics. That's like, again, nothing to turn your nose at. I can't even imagine the logistical nightmare of that. But as someone who's like kind of has the big picture of the company, when things are running on a day to day, I'm wondering for you, how much of a grasp do you have of all the different like departments that are what they're working on as someone who is, you know, at the top of the food chain there?
It is a big company. There was 160 people that worked at the studio on the project. And for us, it was like the biggest challenge really was, other than the fact that the massive amount of pieces that we had to make, because it wasn't just the prosthetics. We had specialty suits that we made as well. And we did fake bodies and puppets. So it was an immense amount of work that got done on the movie. But the biggest challenge really was COVID, because there was constantly, you know, like, oh, so if somebody's sick, they can't come in. And then, you know, there were a couple of times where we actually had to shut down because we couldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And then just the challenges of actually getting the materials that we needed, because everybody around the world got, you know, was shut down too. So to try and get the materials just to make the prosthetics and the suits was incredibly challenging. And of course the deadlines for things. And we were in a good place that where we actually were training a lot of people on the job, because if somebody went down with being sick from COVID, we had to make sure that we had somebody to replace them. And I know that the guys on set had exactly the same issues on there too. So really, the biggest challenge was COVID and making sure that we all worked together to make sure that we could get the work done in time and get it to Alexi and Cassie on time, which was such a challenge to make sure that
but it happened, you know, every time. We always got everything right, like on the nose.
Yeah, and, you know, because we're making it in Los Angeles and we're sending it to Atlanta. And so you're kind of like, fingers crossed that it gets there in time, because it's right up to the very edge.
Oh, that's so stressful. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy, because one, I have COVID literally right now. And two, I watched this like week in the life of Nebula or something like that. And Nebula's in this entire face costume and she's getting a nasal swab. And I'm like, she's just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
So funny.
Well, sometimes they'd come in and like somebody was in full alien makeup and they'd be like, oh, we have to swab their nose. And they're like, you can't get to their nose. There's no nose. You know? Yeah. And then they're like, oh, how do we do it? And I'm like, you should have came earlier. There's no nose.
Why did you sit in the chair?
Yeah. There was one specific alien girl that she was a Zeronian and she had that thing. And it was every single time. And I was like, listen, she's wearing a mask, so whatever.
She's already good to go.
Her prosthetic is the mask. And so, yeah, they could never get to her unless they came on time. And I was like, oh, you didn't come on time. Sorry.
Listen, practical effects and COVID safety protocol in one, that's a life hack right there for Mango.
Oh, Lindsay, just making your life easier. That's all this is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, oh, go for it, Ash.
I want to know.
I know so many questions just like came
right.
Up in my
it's
head.
So crazy. So we're both actors, right? And we see like the other stuff. Like we know all the things, but FX is so like it's such an imaginative world. You're so literally integral to the every single step of the process of all of this, right? I kind of want to know, what are your dreams like? Like how do you create these things? Like what's going on in your head? I know play is such an important essence of the filmmaking process, right? Like how do you go from creating these characters? How do you like work together? Like what the hell is going on? How's this sausage made, y'all?
So the question is how?
How?
Well, really it's, you know, it is a weird place to be, because you have to have two heads, two sides of your heads working, because you have your creative side where you're trying to imagine how to, you know, what the thing is going to be and then how to make it. And then there's the business side, is like, how do we get this done on time, and who's going to work on this, and how do we get to that, the next stage, and make sure that every person along this, the steps of getting it done, they get enough time to make their work as good as it can be. And so the day-to-day job is very complicated, and very, very fortunately that we have a great team here, just like we had a great team on set with Alexi and Cassie's crews. But, you know, we've been together so long that everybody kind of knows everybody's strengths and weaknesses. So if you need something done, you know, a specific thing, then somebody will jump in and take care of that. So it's really a great group effort. No matter what we do, you really need and depend on your crew to do the best that they can under very stressful situations. And in this case, with COVID, it was even more important that we all work together as a team.
I don't know if this happens with... Oh, sorry. Sorry, Lindsay. Go.
No, I was going to say,
I don't know if it's like this for you guys, but like, you know, you'll have a conversation with, you know, whoever you need to talk to. Like, Lindsay, if I'm talking to you, like, oh, should we do this? And then we're talking to James, and then we're talking to Judiana, and then I'm spitballing with Alexi. I will literally then at night have dreams. Like, I'll dream about whatever we're going to do. And then I'll literally like wake from a dream and be like, this is how I can do that. Like, this is how I can do that. And I'll like wake up and get in my notes, and I'll literally write down like, okay, this is the glue I should use. This is this I should use. Cause I dream about it. So when you say how, it's like having conversations with everyone you need to talk to. And then like, I don't know, maybe I just have an insane brain, but like, I will think about it. And think about it and think about it until I'm dreaming about it. And then I am like, that's how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think I really dream too much about the process, because I'm doing it so much all day long that by the time I get home, I'm just out.
Here's a quick question. Can Cassie invoice for those dream hours that she's spending at work? That's the real question.
It's part of my overtime. I was in my notes for this long.
So I was lucid dreaming, right? But I found a really cool way to use this LaTeX.
And speaking in terms of like working together and everything, can we just take it back to the top? Like, what do you three do exactly? And I mean, I feel like your actual work is kind of just a small part of the process, aside from communicating and ideating and all of these other things on the business side. But what are your specialties? Like, take us inside of what you really, really do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a makeup department, I wear a lot of different hats, right? And every project is a little bit different. Everything has to be tailor-made to what we're doing, right? So for Guardians, for example, I worked with Legacy Hand Production at the very beginning of it. They brought in all the assets from all the Guardians stuff. It was like 55 palettes from like the first movie and just everything. And we looked through everything. We helped organize. We helped define what was usable, what molds were great, you know. And so it was just a lot of organizing, right? And then also when we're on set, I'm like, I want to do the High Evolutionary makeup, but so want to do this, but so like I want to do all of it, but I can't, right? You have to set. So it's really like setting people up for success too. I mean, that show is so big because we just had so many people, so many moving parts. It was really just making sure everybody had all the information, the tools, giving everybody tasks, you know, and just really just making sure that we had everything covered. Also, because of COVID, we had schedule changes, we had people dropping out. And so when we got there, we did the same thing that, you know, Lindsay was talking about, where we trained. Cassie and I actually held classes for our core group. Everybody had a Bible with like all the notes. So we did a Nebula class. We did a Gamora class. We did classes and it wasn't on the actors. It was on like us, you know, and everything, each other. but it was the main artists going through and showing everybody, this is how I do it, this is how I do it. And I even had those people prep like a class, like they were teaching it. So they had, you know, a binder with step-by-step notes and everything. Like we were lucky that we had a couple of weeks before that. So before we started shooting, so we could go and do all these classes, because if one of our main artists got COVID or got knocked out, we still have to do that makeup. And the stunt doubles worked almost every day as the heroes do. So, everybody needed to know how to do everything, you know, and because we had such amazing team, everybody's so diverse. I mean, you know, and I picked the team to make sure that it went that way. You know, a lot of people just do beauty makeup. Some people just do prosthetics, and we had such an amazing crew that did both, you know, and, you know, our Mantis makeup, Mike Ornelas, it's a beautiful prosthetic that goes down and blends perfect, but it's a beautiful beauty makeup on top of that, you know? And so you really have to know both, you know, and you have to be really, really well diverse. And so, you know, so lucky that we have that team and have that capability to really throw anybody at anything and be able to execute it. So, you know, and then from then on, it's just hold tight and make it to the end. That was the rest of my job. Yeah.
Awesome. And Cassie, let's move on to you, because we've talked in DMs about how wigs blow my mind, but please give us a lowdown on hair department.
Yeah. So I got brought in by Lindsay and Alexi, and I was the hair department head. So it was cool, because normally, like on movies like this, you kind of have separate departments, and I've sort of always been part of the legacy team. That is, it's kind of like there's like a legacy department, and then there's like a hair and makeup department, and maybe it's kind of separate. And so on this one, we were going to be literally just one big happy family, which was super cool, because I sort of know the legacy way already. And so it was just like, so cool, because we could just spitball off of each other each time. So like, if I ever had a question about like something that was going to come or whatever, I could just call Lindsay, or I could call Connie, who's the hair supervisor at Legacy. And we just had this amazing open communication. So for all of us, like every time there was going to be a new design implemented, we could just all talk to each other, and it was super fluid. So it was great for us, because, you know, there was never a question in the hair team of like, well, what's, you know, is this hair team going to take care of that? Or is this hair team going to take care of it? We just took care of all of it. So it was so great. Like, we could go into fittings, and like Alexi and I would go into fittings, and we'd be fitting prosthetic pieces on people. And then we'd see somebody with like amazing hair, and then I'd be like, well, let's not cover this, because that person has such good hair. Or Alexi, you know, we'd be like, oh, this person is not good hair. Like, let's cover it. And so I remember we were spitballing a couple of characters, and we were just like, how can we like create space so that way we can like airbrush into the scalp and make it look, you know, make it look like whatever's happening here, put it in here. So that way, you know, if we created space, like the paint was going to read, and you were going to see every detail in every character. So it was cool. We just like got to talk to each other, I don't know, every day and spitball ideas. I think that's the most fun thing to do, is to just talk about like, this is how we're going to do this, and this is how we'll complete this. So yeah, same as Alexi, I had an incredible staff. Like, our teams were just so amazing. And I know we'll talk about this in a bit, but once we got into Humanimals, it was like an all hands on deck situation for us. And we needed to give classes. And so, like Alexi said, we were giving classes at the very beginning, but then like mid-show classes, then, you know, Humanimals came in classes, and those were like intense classes. And we were very specific on like how this was all going to happen and how we're going to work together. And like, there was just no excuse for anyone to not be completely fluid and like just love each other, because we did. I don't know. I'm being cheesy, but we really did. Like, everyone got along, everyone became friends, and we were like, become friends with your makeup artist. And the hair people were like, we can do that. And I'm like, yeah, please.
Yeah.
Go be friends.
Please.
Go be friends.
This is a team sport. Please be friends with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, it's my favorite show to have worked on from that perspective, because we really did work together as a team that you didn't often get that opportunity to all work together so closely. And it was really a great time of my life to get to work with everybody, and the breadth of work that we got to do together. Because, you know, normally, you know, you get to do maybe a makeup, or you get to do a suit, or you get to do the design work, but we actually got to do all of it on the show, which was such a pleasure to get to do, and really felt honored that James and his production team felt that they could do that with us. And I think we all were very grateful that we were given the opportunity. And I think that for me was the most memorable part of the show, is to get the opportunity and to actually put your heart and soul into every single character that we did for them. And I think that from concept, sculpting, molding, hair, to painting, to getting it to set, to Alexi and Cassie's team finishing it off, taking to the finish line, it was a really joy to work on this show.
Oh, that's so cool to hear. I got to do a small little tour with a friend of Legacy at the shop, and I remember just like looking around. It was like a weird Willy Wonka experience for me, you know what I mean? She's like, you see busts of actors just lying around, you see these huge casings where they're just filling it with goo, you know, Darth Vader's there, real steel robots are there. It's pretty incredible the amount of like props and stuff that comes out of that shop. But you know, it's funny, I've always wanted to ask this to like makeup artists and hair artists, especially. Everyone talks about how much time talent has to sit in a chair, right? It's like, oh, they got applicated for like what, 4 or 5 hours. Let's flip that though. What toll does that take on a makeup artist or a hairstylist's body when you're standing there for 8 hours, constantly working, probably sweating, using heat guns? I want to know, like, for Alexi and Cassie and Lindsay, even from the shop perspective, how does that feel for you? You know, like you're you're not getting it done to you, but you're certainly putting in a ton of work
with extreme detail and having like your hands are still the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, really, guys. I mean, I think the longest makeup that we had on this whole show was maybe 2.5 hours. Maybe 2.5 hours. Yeah, we really like when we're working with Legacy, when we talk about how the makeup is going to be broken down, we really try to aim it towards people not being in the chair that long, you know, and also too, like the scope of this, we can't have people in the chair that long because you have so many people. And like, if you're doing 5-6 hour makeups, they still have to get dressed. They have to go to hair. That's an 8 hour process. That's a half a day. That's a whole day, you know? And so production can't afford that. So if we are coming at them with these long application times, it wouldn't have happened. They would have had to cut back. We wouldn't have been able to make as much stuff. I mean, it logistically, you just can't do it. So really, like, I mean, most of our aliens were like an hour and a half, guys. Like, I mean, we are doing the High Evolutionaries makeup in 70 minutes, you know? We really pride ourselves on being fast and very efficient. And I think that that's, it has to be, because it has to be production friendly. It has to be, and you can't drain people. You can't drain your actor that long in the morning, especially if we're doing it day after day, because, you know, we're a union show. We have union turnarounds. Mm-hmm. So, all of it really has to be thought through. And you have cleanup time at the end of the day, too. You still have 20, 30 minutes to clean somebody up and take everything off. So really, it's got to be thought through from the very beginning, you know, and when Lindsay and his team are doing stuff, they're really thinking about, you know, let's not make this 14, 15 pieces. You know, we can do this as one, we could do that. You know, we can make this big thing into like 4 pieces, and that really helps us, you know, apply it faster and knock the times down. So, you know, I think a lot of times some makeup artists and some people love to tell the story of, you know, how long they were in the chair. And I hear actors, oh, it's 8 hours. You know, sometimes when we do our original test, it might be 4 hours, you know what I mean? Like, because we're putting it on, we're figuring out the paint, we're figuring stuff out, you know, but like by the time we're into shooting, we've already cut that in half, you know? And, so, you know, that 8 hour thing is gross. I don't want to do that. That's awful. That sounds like a nightmare. Just like stand there for 8 hours. I don't want to do that.
Like, no one's trying to like break records or impress anyone. Like by getting the time.
Yeah.
Like the getting the time down is simply just for yourself to like, I can now sit and have breakfast. You know what I mean? Like if I get my time down, I can sit down and like have a banana or like I can go help someone like if I'm free. And so like, yeah, just like Alexi saying, like no one wants to get anything to be that long because just like you're saying, what does it do to our bodies? Like, yeah, we all go to chiropractors. We have to get, you know, massages. Like people are like, oh, you're getting another massage. And I'm like, yeah. So it's not like, you know, it is tough. And then you go stand on set for a long time. So it's a lot of standing and a lot of like your arms are kind of always in this position, I feel like, you know, and it is, it's like the doing like fine work, you know, when you're really in someone's face and you're kind of like, you know, tapping and doing that sort of fine work, it makes your brain is like working overtime and you're not breathing because you're just like, let me make it perfect, you know? So, you know, but definitely like Alexi said, like that you get the times down and like, again, you're not trying to impress anyone because you want it to be perfect. So get your time down, but don't get it down if it's going to be like compromising the work, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Alexi.
Yeah. I mean, we work with our AD department too. So Cassie and I put together, like we have a whole flow chart of like every time that the hair people take, the makeup people, like everything is like plan, like pre-planned out. Like this person goes and sits here, then they go here, then they go here. And this is how much time it takes. And like, we're dead on it, you know? And then, and that also helps them plan everything. And you know, when people can come in and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's really just, it's a ton of organization. It's a ton of charts. Yeah. Cassie,
everyone
talking
has
about having
charts.
Charts. We have a lot of charts. And
timers. Everyone has timers. Like, I know it sounds like we're rigid.
Yeah.
I promise Alexi and Lindsay and I are like super nice and we're really cool. But yeah,
no, but I mean, like,
you do your job well.
Timers.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah. You have to have a timer.
And it's intense, doing these kind of makeups are intense. Like, we get there at 4:15 in the morning and like, that's when we have to perform. Like, that's like, you know what I mean? Like, this is like our go time. It's like, like if we mess up something then it's messed up all day long. So like, we have to get there and be on, you know? And it's like, it's intense, man. I have a little fan. You said sweaty. I have a little fan there and we like set up our stations nice. So like, you know, we're comfortable and, you know, but yeah, no, it's a really cool process. I love that part of the process. I love getting there early and just being like, all right, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
And it's intense, but it's so fulfilling when it's all done and executed really well. It's really, really cool.
I also have to imagine that when you're doing something that is, you know, not necessarily tedious, but it is a meticulous job, that the time goes faster on those like 14-hour, 15-hour days. Because you are so busy most of that time, or at least in the first chunk of time, right? And then for the rest of the time, you're on set watching it happen. And it's just like, I'm sure your brains don't shut off where it's like, all right, last looks is every second for me. You know what I mean? Like, just like always quality control. So I have to imagine that does help with like the overall kind of the slog of being on a set in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they say hurry up and wait. But like for you guys, you're not waiting too much.
Hurry
you're
up.
Just constantly hurry.
Yeah. It'll be funny because it'll be like noon and we'll have been there for like 8 or 9 hours and like it won't even be lunchtime yet. And like we'll hear maybe like some crew people, like other crew people be like, oh, I'm so hungry or I'm so this. And we're like, oh, we've been here since 4. And it's just kind of, makes you laugh. You're like, oh, okay. Lindsay, I'm so curious when you guys have your like people who are, when they're doing their molds and they're so like in it, do people take breaks or are they so like into their mold or they're into their paint that they, that they're not like even stopping because they're into their art for that minute? Or are they, like, is everyone there so like, well oiled that people are like, nope, it's time.
We have our you know, set times for people to have breaks, but you know, if a mold is, you know, in the midst of getting done, then generally people will stay and get that part done and then take their break after that. And then, you know, we're very chatty whilst we work, so it's not like, you know, just your head down and you're not concentrating, you're not, it's like, no, people chat and right, you know, right. We have fun together. It's a challenge every day, but you know, you have to have fun whilst you're doing it. You're making monsters, you're making aliens and suits. So it's, you know, it's a dream project, you know, dream job, because for me anyway, you know, I've always wanted to do this, and you know, it's the only job I've ever had that, you know, and it's the only one I want, you know, it's a dream come true to get to do this. And I think most people that work with us, it's the thing that they've always wanted to do since they were a kid too.
Okay, you know, then.
Yeah, I was going to say, we love learning origin stories about folks. So let's go down the line, Lindsay, Cassie, Alexi. What was the moment? What made you want to get into film or specifically effects? Was there a moment? Was there a project? That's what I want to know now.
Well, for me, it was, you know, I grew up in the UK. And so I grew up watching Hammer Horror movies and Doctor Who. And so that was kind of the true genesis of my interest in this. And then I remember my sister she was the first person in the family that got a VCR. And so she, I went to go stay with her, and I'm like, okay, I gotta get these VHS tapes to watch because I hadn't seen them. My mom and dad don't have a VCR. So I got to watch, I've seen all the magazines on the shows and everything, but, once I saw, I think I saw, American Werewolf, Howling, The Thing, and The Exorcist all at one weekend. And I kept watching them over and over and over again. That's so what cool. I want to do. And so that was like the defining moment of like, there's nothing else that I want to do in my life. This is what I want to do.
Now look at you. Yeah.
So from then on, are you kind of like just drawing these figures and creating these like monsters and stuff, or what does it look like when you've decided the thing, and then how do you kind of further the journey from there?
Well, I remember I was at when I was at high school, I remember my them saying, hey, you know, what you want to do, and I'm like, I want to make monsters, and they're like, nobody does that, what are you talking about? And so I'm like, no, people do this, and like here. And so I ended up having to just write. I think it was Starlog and Starburst magazine and Cinefax. And so I wrote to the makeup artist that I had read about in those articles. I just wrote to them randomly through and sent them to Pinewood and to Elstree. Wow. And they actually got to the makeup artists. And then they invited me down to, it was on Legend actually. I got invited down by Nick Dudman and Peter Rob King to go and visit them. So I went down and showed them my work, and they did my live cast for me, and then about 2 months later I was at college, art college, and I got a call saying, hey, do you want to come work on Legend? And so I was like, yeah. So I moved to London, and that was the beginning of my career.
What?
Such a cool story. That's awesome. And you,
oh my gosh.
I love that it's like self-made, you know, like you created that path for yourself. That's pretty impressive. I love that.
Wow.
All right, you two, you gotta follow that up with a story. Who's going next?
Oh no. I feel like my story is not that interesting, so don't get too much. That's such a cool story, Lindsay. I love learning that about you.
That's awesome. Yeah.
My mom was always an actor, so I was always into the arts. And so, like, she was a theater actor, and I just always thought that I was going to get into theater. So the cool thing is, like, in theater, you're doing both things. You're doing hair and makeup at the same time. And so, you know, I was learning how to do all of these things. And I just, like, thought, I don't know how I can get into film, but, like, somehow I have to, because I have to be able to do something super cool, like theater, because there's no money in theater. There's just none. And so I know it's, like, so silly to say. I love the theater. But anyway, I remember when I was a kid, very specifically, I was watching Waterworld. And there was this detail in Waterworld. My mom leaned down. I was very young when that movie came out. My mom leaned down to me and she said, look at how they paint in the nails. Like, do you see how it looks like dirt? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, that's not dirt. She goes, no, it's the makeup artist, Cassie. They paint the dirt into the nails. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So, like, as going through, you know, theater and being a part of that, like, I was like, how do I get to a point where I'm working on things that are so meticulous that they're painting the nails? And I've told this story, but Lexi's heard it before, but, like, I walked into the trailer one day on Guardians and Adam Walls was painting Humanimal nails, and I was like, oh my God, I'm having a full circle moment, I think. Aww. And I took a picture of him. He was just, like, you know, painting his nails, and for me it was, like, meaningful, because here he was painting the nails and he was doing such amazing detail work on those nails. I was just like, oh my God, this is, like, life full circle. It was, like, super cool.
That's so cute.
The universe likes to send you little bits of flavor from your past.
Yeah, little blips.
You know, just to be like, hey, you made it, kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is awesome. So funny that I never went into makeup. I, like, decided that hair was the thing for me. But I love fine detail, I think, is what it is. And so, like, getting a very complicated wig, which was so cool with the Humanimals, because everything was built very puzzle piece, you know, it was built on these prosthetics. So every single one, when I was, you know, taking everything out of boxes and looking at them, I was like, okay, so this is how we're going to, you know, Jimmy this and blah, blah, blah. And I love getting in there and just, like, and making it perfect. I love it. It just brings my heart joy.
That's awesome. I was visiting the shop and someone was putting little hairs in Grogu's head. And I was just like, it's one by one. you're punching it in, like, each strand of hair, Ash, was, like, being punched into the little guy's head. And it just, like, blew my mind, because I was like, that's a baby head. Imagine, like, a full, you know, full head of hair. You know what I mean? Like, making a wig from scratch. So I totally give you a lot of respect for the work that you do. That's awesome stuff.
Can I ask a follow-up question on that? Have you ever been able to work with your mom on set in any sort of capacity?
No, I wish so much. Like, one time I was working for Disneyland a long time ago. I was, like, a wig lady at Disneyland. And my mom went to an audition to be Mrs. Claus. And I was so stoked. I thought, oh my gosh, Mom, if I could make you Mrs. Claus every day, this would be so cool. And they didn't end up hiring anybody. So it was like a pointless audition. And I was so sad, but that was the closest we ever got. I was so excited. I did put a wig on her at the audition, and that was so fun.
Aww.
Someday.
There you
someday.
Go.
Yeah. Someday.
Hey, Alexi, how did you get that into the business?
Guys, my origin story is not exciting. I mean, be honest with you, like, right out of high school, I was working at a grocery store and I was just kind of burnt out at that. And I was at a party and I was like, anybody got a job? And this guy's like, call this dude. And I called him and it just happened to be, Captive Audience, which was Greg Canham's old shop. And so it was a, you know, Academy Award for Mrs. Doubtfire and Bram Stoker's Dracula. Three days later, I walked in there and they're like, you know, hey, we need a PA. We need a runner. I was like, done. Sign me up. That's it. So I went into it you know, I got super low. I walked into an amazing facility with amazing artists and amazing stuff, and I knew nothing. I knew nothing about the industry. I knew nothing about anything. I was a musician. I was on the Warped Tour at the time. Like, you know.
Hold on. Like, what band were you in?
I was playing guitar, and we were on Volcom Entertainment. We were playing with like NOFX and stuff, and like, you
hold
know.
Hold on.
I mean, this is like 90. This is like 99 maybe. Yeah, this is like 1999. So
cool.
Yeah, and that's what I thought I wanted to do, and then I still did it while I was a runner, but as I had the job, I just started to learn, like, because I'm picking up the materials. So actually, I learned it like in a reverse way. I learned like about the materials because I'm picking it up before I ever did anything with anything, you know. And so and at one point I was like, oh, this is kind of like, this is a cool job. Like, I was going to set and delivering prosthetics and you know, and seeing all this stuff, and you know, and the appeal was like, I got to drive around and listen to punk rock, and like, and then I'd get to like the, I go to like the, to deliver prosthetics, and I go get to make a free sandwich. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, you know, and so like, this is the best job ever. And so, you know, and then at one point, a couple years in, I was just like, you know what? Like, I lived in a house with a bunch of guys. And I just started like for parties, like everything. I was always like putting bruises and like, you know, and scratches and like messing people up and this. And like, it just kind of started there. And then I was painting. And then at one point I moved out of the party house and I got a big room, and I just sat there for like 2 years and just sculpted and painted and watched every video and just like, you know, and just did it. And, my first on set job was Van Helsing. I went to Prague and I worked on the movie Van Helsing and I worked on the Frankenstein suit, and I wasn't in the union yet, so I wasn't doing makeup, but I was doing repairs on the Frankenstein suit and working with Greg Canham and you know, and just learning all that. And then a couple years after that, they sent me to Australia for Son of the Masks, the Jamie Kennedy movie. And there I started to do, that was the first time I did makeup. I was gluing the stunt mask on the stunt guy. And that was kind of it. And at that point too, I quit the band because I'm like, this is a real job, and I'm traveling the world, and like I had to focus. So then that was it. I just kind of focused up and just went, you know what? I want to be a makeup artist. And I focused and I worked, and that was it.
That's put my head down story. And
get it done.
That is a great story.
That's a great story. And you got a few Emmys on the show.
Can I also? Can I also just humble brag about my friend Alexi here? Is he is an incredible like artist, like drawing. Like, I remember very clearly, I met you on Birds of Prey, and you were on your iPad drawing, and I was like, "What are you doing?" And you were like, "Oh, I'm doing a tattoo," like whatever tattoo it was, and. Yeah. And I was like, wow, have you always been like this? And you were like, no, I just learned how to do it. And I'm like, what? How did you just? So wow. I remember you telling me you just learned how. And I was like, you're so talented. It's insane.
Well, guys, I literally knew nothing. Like I couldn't draw. I couldn't do anything. And so I put myself through Photoshop, and like, for years I did Photoshop classes and ZBrush classes, and went to this place called Studio Arts here in Los Angeles, and I did like 4 years of that, just like nights, weekends, everything. And then I read that book, Drawing with the Right Side of Your Brain. It's been like since like the 70s. It's like on like the 17th audition or something. My wife had it, and she was like, just read this, like if you don't know how to draw, read this. And I was like, all right. So I read that book and I just started drawing. So I don't know, guys.
That's incredible.
I think with any of it.
Add to cart.
Literally,
add
right?
To cart.
Yeah.
But
have I been transitioned to the other side? This is incredible.
You just have to, if you want to do it, I mean, with anything, there's so much material out there. So many avenues of learning. People ask me, like, you know, should I go to makeup school? Should I do this? And I'm like, you know what? You can learn so much without going. You know, you can just learn so much on your own now. There's so many avenues of YouTube. There's so many stuff to like really like learn. And then you can go someplace after you learn the base and then really start to hone those skills in, you know, fine tune everything. But you know, and at the time, I mean, you know, when I was learning, I was lucky enough that there were some cool schools, and I don't know, just if you want to do it, put your head down, do it. You know, there's no excuses.
Work hard, you know, so work hard. Yeah. Love that.
I can totally see the through line though, between like using your creative side of your brain to make music and the intricacy of like, how do you move your fingers in a way that creates this music, mm-hmm. in terms of like, and then you're sculpting and doing all these things. That is so cool. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I definitely want to talk about like working with all these great filmmakers. But before we get there, I'm to jump off that point and kind of just all of your origin stories and journeys. The tools of the trade have to have come so far from where you started to now. And I'm wondering, just for each of you, what have you felt personally, and maybe in your own department or FX in general, has become the greatest advancement in makeup or prosthetics? Like for your own personal journey, what's been like the most helpful, I guess? Lindsay, if we could start with you, and then we'll go down the line again.
Honestly, it's having an open mind and taking on any new idea or new program. I think that the best way forward is just being open to whatever that gets the job done. And so from the time that we work for Stan to now, is we always have embraced technology, and so it's really hard to say that there is one thing over another, because we still do traditional sculpting and traditional mold making, but we also do digital sculpting and digital mold making, and then, you know, concept work, you know, used to just be pencil, and then it became Photoshop, and then it became 3D with ZBrush, and then, you know, people, you know, taking the assets that you create, and then they go off and they animate them. So it's, I don't really know if there's one thing that I would say that was the, you know, more important than the other. I think at the moment, rapid prototype technology is changing the business immensely, because with the different types of machines that you have now, different materials that they're developing, that really opens up your mind to doing things differently. Mm-hmm. That's exciting for me, personally. I think that's the future, is using that technology and doing things that haven't been done before. I think that's my biggest thing, is to try and always do something that's never been done before. I get excited about the thought of what do we do next? What's the next challenge? So that, for me, it's like everything.
Love that. Do you guys have anything to add to that? Or are you kind of in the same opinion?
I so agree with Lindsay with like just being open. Like, and having conversations with each other is like the greatest gift, because getting to like spitball ideas with each other and getting to say like, well, why would you use this or why would you use that? Like, you know, different kind of glues or different kind of whatever. Like, why would you make it this color? Why that color? And you are just like progressing just by talking to each other and just by being open. And, you know, if somebody gives you an idea, you're like, oh yeah. And not having it like, not having an ego about it, I think is what it is, a big thing. Cause you know, someone can come up with a really great idea and then like now suddenly you have 3D printing, you know what I mean? Like, it's like things like that are really cool. And I think it what's been great with, you know, having such high quality filming at this point is that a lot of producers and directors now understand the absolute need for really high quality wigs. So for me, I think that's like a huge thing. And so now we're getting to make wigs just with the most beautiful lace, and they're beautifully made. And like the Legacy team made the most beautiful wigs. They were just so beautiful. And so for me, it's things like that where I can, you know, I open a box and I just get the most beautiful wig. And we can all be creative together and have a conversation together about like, this is how we would implement it. Like, this is what we would do. This is what I would do. This is okay. Now let's make a combination of all of the things. And then it just is perfect on screen. It just looks perfect. And so I think that's like a really huge thing, is just getting, you know, the materials you need to make it perfect.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that from when I started to where I almost used the same tools. Like I used like the same airbrush. I used the same, like, I mean, like there's new stuff you don't have to reinvent things just because you can, you know? And I think that some of the old school ways, some of the older ways are still the foundation of everything. Right. And so, you know, you can take something and paint it a different way that I paint it, because we're different artists and we see it different way, but also like the end result can be very similar. And so I'm very much open to, like, you know, there has to be a parameter. There's a parameter of this is the final result that we need, but also like how to get there is what's good for you. What do you know? How does it work for you? And let other artists find that, you know, and do their things, you know, because they might be like, well, I might start out with this paint, and you're like, all right, I mean, go for it. I mean, as long as it looks like this at the end, like that's cool, right? And so, you know, I think like, you know, for us on set, for me on set, it's not much, right? I mean, it hasn't changed that much for me. I mean, it's knowing my tools and knowing, you know. And I think it's being comfortable with everything. I mean, sure, there's really great paints that people are making. There's new advancements in glue and, you know, and stuff like that. We're always trying the new stuff and, you know, and some things work better for others. And, you know, and so, you know, when we're looking and doing makeups, we're, you know, is it a silicone makeup? Is it a foam foam latex makeup? And sometimes silicone is not the answer. And sometimes it is. And sometimes it's better to do a foam makeup because it's, you know, foam latex is like, you know, the origin of aesthetics, right? You know, and I mean, that's kind of what they were first doing. And so, I mean, I think it's knowing your tools and knowing you and knowing, like, you know, everything that, you know, what you know best, and to really like work and manipulate that to get your best result.
Yeah. Well, in the jumping in there with you talking about silicone versus foam, it also depends on, you know, because Alexei and I talked a lot about this when we were doing the Humanimals, because the most of the movie it was silicone or prose transfers. But then when we were getting to the Humanimals, we made a conscious decision to, for the majority of them, to go with foam latex, because we knew at that point of the year when we were filming that, it was going to be hot and humid in Atlanta, and it was going to be outside. So we went with foam latex for those characters because time, sweating issues, the weight of the things. You know, foam latex is fantastic material to use for specific times. Mm-hmm. And then there are things where you want, you know, more translucency, like with the Bat family. So, you know, we really talk a lot about how we're going to approach each makeup, so that we don't, when we're making something, that we're not handing something to Alexei and Cassie that they are going to have problems with on set. We try to always look ahead and go, well, what time of year is it going to be? Mm-hmm. Where are you going to be filming it? What sort of, you know, actor do you have? Do they sweat a lot? Do they not sweat a lot? You know, all those kind of things. So it's a lot of dialogue between all of us to make sure that we deliver something that they can, you know, take to the final look on set and be comfortable with.
Incredible. Thank you all for those answers. I feel like it's just been such an enriching conversation so far, but you brought up Humanimals a couple times. One, they are incredible, right? No matter what species of Humanimal, I just like enjoyed seeing them on the screen. And when I spoke to James Gunn, he wanted to capture like the, you know, Island of Dr. Moreau vibes and stuff. But I really like the story that Palm and Karen told me about how they like went out for her bachelorette party and then came to set. And one day it was just a bunch of Humanimals. And so, when you're talking to a filmmaker like James Gunn, like, I love what he's done for sci-fi. For me personally, I just love kind of where his brain takes things. You know, like the Master Carga, that weird suit that he has, like, you got to look at these concepts and be like, this dude's nuts, right? Or are you excited? Like, what is the initial reaction when a filmmaker who is obviously passionate and obviously has a vision comes in with this, with these designs that are just like kind of like mind blowing, I would imagine. Like, concept art looked really cool. And transitioning that, is your first thought logistical nightmare, or are you excited by the idea of getting to bring it to life?
Honestly, really excited about it, because we were very fortunate that we were given the opportunity to design all those in the beginning. And we had a great team of design artists here at the studio who instantly just jumped on it and really wanted to bring their best to these characters. And so, you know, it really starts with James and the script and what he's imagining when he writes the script. And so then, you know, we have weekly pre-vis meetings with everybody, all the departments, where we share our art. But I have to say that James, he can be very specific about what he wants, but he's also very, very open to letting you do your thing.
Yeah.
And so we got some pretty wacky designs through on this show, which I don't think we would normally get, because James is very, very creative. And just every time we would show something, you know, he would, you know, give us notes, be very specific about it. But he really was so much fun to work with on that. And just, you know, we just kept going on those designs. They were just the funnest things to do. And you know, you were talking about the Orgo Sentry suits there. You know, that was there were some really bizarre designs that we did for that. I don't know if they'll ever get shown, but they were pretty wild. But again, it all came from James and his descriptions of what he was looking for. But the Humanimals, they were fun. They were so much fun to do. And then, you know, we were designing, and then we would be showing Alexi and, you know, okay, what do you think about this? How do we break it down? How do we make the wig so it covers up all the edges, so it makes it easier on set? So designing things is not just, you know, doing a pretty drawing. It's like you actually, it's the thought process of how is it going to work on set? How comfortable can it be? You know, you can do a really outlandish design, but if you can't actually do it on set, then it's kind of pointless. So, you know, the design team here are always, you know, talking about how do we do these things. And that's what's great about the studio here, is that, you know, it's one big facility. So everybody, you know, when we're designing, when we're sculpting, you know, we're bringing in the Damien from the mold department saying, hey, how do you think this is going to get broken down the easiest? What materials are we going to, Corey, what are we going to do with this? Is it going to be foam? Is it going to be silicon? What's the challenges here? Do we have enough materials to actually do this with COVID? You know, so there's a lot of conversation that goes on when we're designing the characters, and then how we build the prosthetics, how we do the wigs, how do we do on this particular job with the Humanimals. You know, we had the bat people with giant ears. So we decided to do those as a rapid prototype grow of a clear material so that it was hollow, so that it would be light and easy on and off with magnets. But it's, you know, thinking the whole process through with everybody, how do you do it and how do you get it so it all works together, and we can get it to set on time.
Beautiful.
And also you're thinking about, you know, there's a person under there too. You know, somebody's got to wear this.
Somebody's got to do something,
you know? Yeah, somebody's got to be in this. And you guys are really good about that too, like making sure that they can see, making sure that they can, you know, just simple things in life, like maybe breathing and seeing.
That's
those are usually things that we try to think of, you know, and just like, you know, but all of that's taken into effect. Yeah, definitely.
You know what is one of the coolest things? Sorry, just really quick.
No, you're fine.
I think when actors go to Legacy and they get the whole, you know, shebang, I think that it gets them so excited. Like every human animal that we had who was like, you know, like that had something fit really for them, they would all sit in our chair and then tell us how cool it is at Legacy. So they'd be like, do you know what's there? And I'm like, yes, I do know what's there. So it's like, they would get to come. And then like Lindsay, they would talk to us about like how nice everyone was there and how seamless the process was. And so I think that the actors get very excited to like go through that process, get to see Legacy. Like you guys should open up tours because it's the coolest place. And so, it's so cool. It's like going into like a history museum. It's the most amazing place, but then they come and they sit down and then they want to tell us like about their experience and like, oh, well, when I got my mold done and blah, blah, blah. And well, you know, this is what they were doing there. And we're like, okay, yeah, like we know all of this, but sure, tell us everything. Like we just get so excited, I think, to hear from them because they have such a good experience initially. And I think it's so, they have so much fun. They're in such a, like a historic place of cinema. I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's amazing. Like you guys worked on Jurassic Park. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I nerd.
You walk in, there's dinosaurs.
I still nerd out every time I go. I'm always like, oh my God, there's a raptor. Oh my God.
You have like a halo wall of just like Spartans there. I know.
I'm like, that's so cool. That's the Iron Man suit. Oh my God.
Yeah. And now there's Jarnathan from Dungeons and Dragons. I love that guy.
So cool.
We really appreciate all your guys' time, and we won't take too much of it up for the rest of the day. But I do have one final question here on my end. Basically, we wanted to give y'all an opportunity to voice some of who you are, right? Because I feel like the behind the scenes stuff, like effects, that stuff doesn't get as celebrated. But it's nice to see someone like James Gunn, who's like reposting your work, showing the body, you know, like the Chris Pratt body that Legacy made, showing the prosthetics. I love seeing that celebration happen. Generally, we like to give the platform over to our guests to share whatever they have on their mind. But I had a more specific question for the three of you. It's, you've been doing this career for however long now, right? And I'm just wondering, what is like one thing you wish more people knew about kind of this department or like this realm of what you do for work? Alexi, I'd love to start with you and then Cassie, and then we'll end with Lindsay, if that's okay.
It's a good question.
You know, I think that people think that like makeup and hair people, I think like there's a lot of shows that glorify this like celebrity lifestyle type of thing, right? And some people get to live that, but it's also it's work, it's a good job, it's a great job, but you know, I don't know, man. I think that I try to always say stuff about like the schools, you know, and try to say like, you know, hard work, like it's not an easy gig, you know, and be honest with you, like there are really good makeup artists out there. There are amazing people out there that do amazing work and they don't get to work on big stuff, you know? And so it's, we're real lucky to work with Legacy, real lucky to work with James Gunn, real lucky to work with each other, you know? And so, you know, there's definitely a luck aspect in it, but also like, I think it's just, you know, we're trying to treat you. I think the biggest thing is, for me is make sure you treat everybody good, you know, make sure you treat everybody like you treat your PAs good. You treat your background artists good. You know, you're not yelling at people. Like nobody's nobody's beneath you. Everybody's, we're all the same. We're all there to make the same thing. And regardless of your status in it, like, so, you know, I think that that's a, if anything, I would say that's a message to, you know, to everybody is, I've seen some people treat some people in a way that I'm like, yeah, don't do that. That's not cool. You know? And, so, you know, cause yeah. also too, like those people are showing up to work, you know, your background artists are, they're on time and going through the process and they have a life and they're doing a thing. So I don't know. I think, you know, just we're all there, man. I mean, we're all there at 4 a.m. and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're there to do. Like we're all there. So let's be cool, you know? And so, well, I don't know. I think if anything, I would say that.
That's a great message. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think we're all artists, like at the end of the day. Everyone working in film and TV, like everyone's an artist, like from the director and the actors, yes, to everyone else. Like everyone's an artist. And so I think it's like, I think it's nice to celebrate our craft just because, you know, yeah, like Alexi said, we're all working so hard. Everyone's working so hard. So it's great to celebrate every craft on set because every craft brings such a different type of artistry. Like, you know, when you walk into like, you know, the wood shop and you see what they're working on, you're just like, oh my God, you built that? And so it's really cool when people can acknowledge what we're doing. And, you know, when the Humanimals all came out, like there was a universal gasp on set. Of like, people were just shocked and each one kept getting cooler and cooler and cooler. And so for us, like, we're just artists being artists, just, you know, making it every day. And, you know, yeah, just like Alexi said, it's like our job and we're very lucky. Like I pinch myself every day that this is what I get to do for a living. Like I could never do something else. This is it. So I'm, as Alexi said, very lucky to get to do this and get to get paid for it is like pretty amazing. And you, yeah, I mean, it's so cool. You get to have conversations with other creatives. Like even just this conversation right now is amazing. Like we get to have a creative conversation for an hour and it just is so cool. Like I've just learned so much about Lindsay and Alexi that I didn't even know. And I'm like, oh my God, I love this.
Oh, yay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, I mean, it is an honor to do what we do for a living. It really is. I don't say that with anything other than, you know, pride at what we get to do. I mean, it's really something that as a kid, I never thought I would ever get the opportunity to do that, and then to come to live in America and get the opportunities that I got here, it's astounding, you know. But it's as Alexi said, a lot of it is luck, you know, being the right place at the right time to meet the right person, doing the right job. But it also is hard work. I mean, I know that the people think it's a very glamorous industry, which of course it is. But it's a real challenge every day to do what you do, and it's a collaboration. It's a team sport. It's nobody that's one person that's doing this. It's a team effort. Whether it's you know, Legacy doing this, that, or the other. It's you know, 160 people here, and then there's 100 odd people on set doing the makeup and the hair. And then you're working together with the costume department and you're working together with the production designer. It truly is a collaboration on a daily basis. And you really have to get along well with people. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't really do it, because it's all about working together, celebrating each other's work. And it's hard work, but it's also a fun job. And, you know, even with, as stressful as they can be, at the end of the day, my dream job. And I think we, all three of us, would agree to that part.
You guys are making magic for the rest of us, you know? So
literal magic.
Also, too, I mean, just being able to be a part of this franchise as well. And I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is such a, it's such a celebration of makeup, celebration of hair and makeup. I mean, it always has been from the very beginning, and it just, it got bigger and bigger as it went. And so, so I mean, you know, just to be a part of this franchise and to been able to, you know, execute James's vision and you know, just to be a part of the history of the prosthetic, world breaking prosthetic, you know, and you know, all of that is, it's a dream come true. I mean, it's awesome, man. And really, it's, we've been saying it, like Guardians of the Galaxy is such a celebration of hair and makeup, and we're so proud of being part of it. It's really cool.
It's just an honor to have you guys on our podcast, because this stuff is really important to me. I mean, I've been in love with film and TV for as long as I can remember. And like, it is a dream to go into that shop and get my own cast one day for a project that I'm a part of. And I hope that you're all part of that memory when it does happen. But
I
thank you for your time.
I hope so.
I hope I don't have a panic attack in the goo. That looks so... Have you, like, whenever someone gets like a full cast, I'm just like I'm hyperventilating for them. Does that make sense? It's like a straw in the nostril. I don't know. It's like, but you guys know what you're doing. Any final thoughts from you, Ash? I know this is a very inspiring conversation. I just really appreciate all your time.
I wrote so many of them down. I don't know if we're doing final thoughts. This is just like, this has been such a masterclass, honestly, from everything that I just want to like listen to this again and literally take notes on like a notepad or something. This is beautiful. From some stuff that stuck with me is creating parameters that you're able to play with. Like, here's the boundaries that we have. Whatever happens, like, as you said, you can use that color paint if you want, as long as you get to the other side. Like, that's all you need to do. And the organization that you all have between the logistics of things and the creativity and how you work between that. And I am just... The biggest takeaway for me is just the collaboration and the communication that all of you have between each other. That in itself is the biggest takeaway for me.
And being kind.
That's how you're...
Just and being kind. Like, as Alexi said before, like, but just in general, like, being kind is so important. Like, like, Lindsay, you're so kind and so respectful. And it's like, to have someone who is like your boss be so kind and respectful is so amazing. So I'm not trying to like shoot horns right now, but I am just trying to say like what you're saying is so important. And like what Alexi said about being kind, you know, to every single person and to be just kind to your crew. And we're all tired and we're all exhausted, but just being nice goes so far. It goes so far. Sorry to interrupt you. I just had to say that again.
No,
that's amazing. That. Being kind with Legacy FX. That's it. That's it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on. I'm just so blown away. I'm so grateful to have this time with you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having us. It was really nice to meet you all. And this was awesome. Thank you.
I know it was a lot of email tag and DMing and organization, but like, hey, we did it. We made it to the other side.
We did it. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
I feel like I say this with every podcast. What a great conversation, though.
I mean, this one felt a little different than our other conversations in the way that I truly felt like I was sitting in on a masterclass, just listening to these people talk about something. I'm also so far removed from the effects world, right? Like, I've only had prosthetics and effects done to me a handful of times, but these people are in it every single day, and just to get entranced into their world for just this past hour is so like breathtaking.
Yeah. 100%. And they all, you know, you could tell that they're experts. You could just, they have an air to them of like a knowledge and a wisdom, which is just like really cool. And just to hear all of their starts and to hear like how they operate on set, like that's stuff that we really, I don't know about you, but like, in the content that I watch, I don't get to hear those stories, you know?
No.
I didn't get to hear about, like how Lindsay got started until today. You know what I mean? Like,
that's so cool.
I was just saying, it's like, I my biggest takeaway was that they all kind of created opportunity for themselves to do their dream job. And that's, like, mad inspiring as someone who often struggles with, like, am I doing the right thing right now in my life? You know what I mean? And so to hear them be like, yeah, this is what I want to do, so I'm going to keep doing it, that in itself is like really enriching and empowering for me.
There's so many great tidbits of just like advice that is so universal. Be kind. There's like a literal human inside of this suit. Small things that are just reminders of like, yeah, this is what we do every day. This is our job. But also in that origin story, man, like, that was beautiful. I think for me, it reminded me to just keep on doing what I'm doing and to know that wherever I will need to be is going to come to me. And if I have a dream, to keep following it, if I kind of don't know what's going to happen, I will get to a place. The natural evolution of things is so beautiful. And I just follow what's like, whatever's in your head. Like, yeah, I need a job. I'm going to take that job. I'm suddenly in makeup now. Like, that's so cool. It's so inspirational and so awe-inspiring. And man, they're like one brain, dude. One brain, one solid brain.
I love that they kept referencing each other through the conversation of like, oh, it's like that time that you did this, or like when I sent you this. Like, it really shows kind of how cohesive a team like that has to be, because these are department heads, right? So underneath those are like dozens of people each, probably. And just having to juggle that on top of the hundreds of talent that they're putting into makeup, the stunt doubles that they're also putting into makeup with the same exact care as they would, you know, like Chris Pratt's double got the same makeup and care and hair done as the Chris Pratt. You know what I mean? So it does like give you a scale of the amount of work that these people are doing. You know, waking up at 4 a.m. is hard. We all know that. Working at 4:15 start time for 8 hours before you could even get lunch, and then you're there for the rest of the shoot day. Think about those days. Those are like 16-hour days, 12 to 16-hour days, right? That's like hard for anybody to keep up. And the fact that they're constantly working, man, it really gives you a scale and perspective of like how much we should be respecting these folks and like giving them their flowers and their awards, because they certainly deserve it, especially on projects like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, you know?
Yes. And just the honor to be able to talk to people who are so decorated, who have won so many Emmys, who have done like before. So before we actually started recording, Alexi turned his camera over and he showed us all of his Emmys. And then his wife puts like her 8th grade participation trophies in between them. It was so cute.
which is exactly the energy that I hope to find in a partner. It's just like, look at all my achievements. It's like, yeah, you're not tough shit. Check this out. I played soccer in 6th grade.
It's a participation trophy, but it still counts.
I love it. But they were all so cool, and you wouldn't like, I know they were humble too. They were down to earth, and it's just like, yeah, they worked on, like, Lindsay has worked on Babe, the pig movie. And like, and he just seems like the coolest, most, sorry, that, like that's like the pinnacle of fame for me. Babe! You guys know Babe? But I don't know. What a wonderful conversation. And I'm really excited to have more episodes like this where we get panels on, because that was just so much fun. And there was
so much information,
knowledge. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What I would do and what I would pay to sit into one of those classes that they would teach on set.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh my gosh.
Put me in the Mantis class. I want to be in the Drax class. And then all those classes, I want to be in those. That's really cool.
Yes. Yes. I can't imagine though, like, Lindsay was saying his start was in the VHS days. Can you imagine what it was like to not be able to even watch your films because your family didn't have a VHS player? Going to your sister's house, playing these VHSs for the first time. And now, in the days of streaming platforms, where you can be watching 6 shows at the same time on 6 different screens in front of you, and have everything be so accessible, to be inspired at a time where things were not as near and not as, like, you had to pay to see a movie in a movie theater. You couldn't watch it from your house. And now everything is so at your fingertips. What a beautiful journey that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how, you know, like, how things have changed and how much hasn't changed. Like, like Alexi was saying, it's like, I still use the same tools as I did when I started. And like, I don't know, just because the digital space and technology is advancing, it doesn't change the art behind it. You know what I mean? And so that's what's really nice. I don't want to segue into an AI conversation, so we should wrap up.
All I know is now I'm going to dive into using binders and charts and timers, and
You're already like that. Hold on. You're so organized. What are you talking about? You want more binders?
Maybe you want
more detail?
I was so excited.
That's what I gotta do. You're good.
If I have another binder, I'll be more creative.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I think that's a good as place as any to wrap up today. Ash is on her way to Office Depot to get more supplies for this podcast. But honestly, thank you all for joining us. This was such a cool conversation. I'm still kind of riding my geek high right now, and I'm feeling really inspired. I hope you're feeling inspired, Ash.
I cannot even fathom the level of like inspired I am right now. You know what, though? Out of all of this, out of every single thing we've done today, I can't help but think that you are tremendous.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking our guests were. I was thinking that, you know, all the people listening were. But definitely that you were tremendous, Ash.
Yes. And all right, bye.
Bye. And we're tremendous. And we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
The Tremendous Talk Podcast is produced by Lawrence Sharma, Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, Gabriela David, Joseph Peralde, and Jeremiah Abraham in collaboration with Tremendous. The Tremendous Talk Podcast jingle is by Jared Sanchez and Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, produced at Hamsterdam Records.